keep in mind that education equals empowerment. So the more a person knows, the less they're threatened by the stigma.
Today on Listen Up L27, we're going to be talking about the new enhanced behavioral health benefit now available to Seattle firefighters. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and I'm here at the Union Hall in Lower Queen Anne today with retired firefighter and paramedic Dallas Baker, a trustee with the Seattle Firefighter Healthcare Trust. And calling in on the line is our other guest today, Rich Jones, the Chief Clinical Officer at U-Turn Health. Rich is a nationally recognized subject matter expert on substance use disorder and healthcare and recovery integration. Over his career, Rich has helped over 8,000 families suffering from SUD with his messages of hope and positivity. Well, welcome, Dallas and Rich. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Jen. Thanks for having us today.
Great to be here, Jen. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I want to get right into it today. So my first question is actually for Dallas. Dallas, you've been involved with the behavioral health programs here for a long time. What makes the new enhanced behavioral health benefit better or different?
So the current program that we have with peer support and with the enhancements that we've made at the Station 2 clinic, we've seen a lot of demand and an increased need. So this new benefit is going to be even more comprehensive and much more accessible to each and every Seattle firefighter.
That's awesome. And Rich Jones has been an integral part of what you guys are doing. And Rich, your group, U-Turn Health, is partnering with the Healthcare Trust and Responder Health to bring the benefit forward. I think it might be helpful for people to understand how the partners are working together with regards to this benefit. Can you provide a bit of a roadmap for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, and people probably say this stuff all the time about partners and things, but when I say it, I really mean it. I feel like Responder Health and U-Turn Health, it's a match made in heaven. And the reason is we complement each other. And so I'll tell you real quick about what U-Turn's all about. We are best in class recovery coaching, health coaching, stress management coaching, best in class coaching services enhanced with technology to support the process. And we've been doing this for about 4 years in the current manifestation of U-Turn Health, but the model that we've been using has been around for about 13 years. So we have this innovative model, but what we don't do is that upfront crisis call line, peer support to the first responder population. So Responder Health is kind of like on the front line of all of these acute care situations, people needing treatment, people needing immediate responses. We're not necessarily on that front line. What we do is we complement that front line by helping the person over the long term. What Responder Health is smart enough to recognize is it's never just as simple as getting somebody in treatment. You need ongoing support and ongoing care. So when you take like Responder Health, combine it with U-Turn Health, you have the whole entire continuum covered, in my opinion.
So what are some of the driving factors behind the decision to introduce a new mental health benefit specifically tailored to firefighters? And how does this address their unique challenges and needs? Dallas, let's start with you.
So what we've seen through our experience with the Healthcare Trust is that we've seen costs increasing in the mental health arena, in behavioral health. And so with that, I think a lot of that is due to the increased workload that we're seeing and the increased type of work that we're seeing with all the exposures that our firefighters are encountering every day. And so we want to provide the support. And that's one of the things that we can do as a self-insured trust is we can see where the needs and the demand is and then address it. We started with bringing on Dr. Murphy at the Station 2 clinic, and she's addressing a lot of needs, but she can't help 1,000 firefighters. We've already been maxing her out, and we're still seeing more demand and more need beyond that. What we have with the Responder Health Program and U-Turn as a partner is we're increasing our outreach and trying to shift from that disease model where we're putting out little spot fires when we see a crisis arise with one of our members and now try to deliver resources and benefits that we can try to start more of a preventative model, just like we do with our annual firefighter medical exams.
And Rich, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, and I the only thing I would add is I agree with everything Dallas said. The only other thing that I would throw out there is you know, one of the biggest driving factors, you know, for U-Turn Health and for my motivation of being part of this is, I don't know how to say it other than what we're currently doing is failing. You know, we have, if you look at like the general population, 250,000 people a year, you know, dying of preventable death. And then you look at these subpopulations like first responders, and it's even worse. Like the people that are taking care of us aren't getting taken care of. We can't just continue to rely on this old school model. And I'm not putting down any particular program or any particular person, but an old school mentality of a person has to hit bottom, raise their hand and come get help. We believe that if you use peers, if you use other first responders, train them, supervise them, they are a force to reckon with when it comes to helping people. They are the most effective at making the connection. And then the other thing I'll add, guys, is we can't forget that we are literally in the middle of like a workforce crisis across our country with traditional behavioral health services. So we need like an all hands on deck kind of approach. That's why this appeals to me so much. It's beyond the traditional stuff. It's opening the door wider and saying, let's get more people to help and let's help a little bit differently.
So and in hearing what you're talking about right now, can you explain some of the key components of the new health benefit that you're offering and how it aims to support their mental well-being and promote resilience?
It's a high stress profession. So the main difference would be if you look at the qualifications for the workforce, let's just start there. If you think of like traditional mental health services, so me, for example, I'm a licensed counselor. I'm a certified EMDR trauma therapist. I'm a certified EAP provider, all these bells and whistles and letters after my name. And that's an important thing. But what we believe is insufficient. And it has to go beyond that. So the main component, in my opinion, is this peer model, where we try to match people up with people with similar backgrounds, both from a profession standpoint, so like first responders with first responders, but also from a lived experience and recovery standpoint. So somebody who's overcome opioid use disorder. For example, I'm a person in long-term recovery from opioid use disorder. I can talk to somebody who's addicted to pain pills, and we have this unspoken understanding of the process. And we feel like when you tap into those two areas, the lived experience of the recovery plus the lived experience of the job, what you get is you get this unprecedented connection. And we know for sure what the literature tells us, that change happens in the context of a therapeutic relationship. It happens in the context of connection. And that's what's so exciting about this model. We're literally flipping the script on how a person gets help and on who we believe can kind of provide that help.
In addition to that, Dallas, I'll ask you, what are some of the resources here that you'll be able to provide? And, you know, we've been talking about specialized counseling services and behavioral health resources. Are there other initiatives designed to sort of foster a healthier mental state?
Absolutely. So our biggest effort is to make all of these services and resources more accessible. It starts with an app. There's going to be a phone-based app for Android and Apple that will give you access to the largest library of first responder behavioral health content in the country. That app will give you access to awareness level and then even more in-depth training to learn about the issues that firefighters are dealing with around the country, and there's content for dispatchers and content for even, you know, law enforcement, firefighters, paramedics, and EMS. We've got a lot of specific content directed at first responders, but the one thing that we all have in common is that human element. And so that's where we have this tremendous library of resources available on the app, just about all of the conditions that we see, not just for us, but for all of our families as well. Beyond that, we also have a web-based training platform, and the web-based training platform has new content posted every month where you can log in live and engage with the people conducting the training. And if you're not able to engage live because of the nature of our jobs, then you're able to, all of those will get recorded and you can view all of that content later at your convenience. And so we've got the app and the web-based content, and then we also have the phone number. The phone number is being staffed by first responders, experienced first responders that have over 10 years on the job. And a lot of them have also, at some point in their careers, had to call that number themselves. So they've been at that point in the crisis where they needed to get some support. And we know how often first responders struggle with taking that step. Well, the people answering that phone line have taken that step too, so they can identify with the caller in that regard, but they also have that first responder background. Then they went and got a bunch of additional training, and so now they have at their fingertips a vetted network of both inpatient providers that are qualified and uniquely trained for our population. They have outpatient providers that have been vetted that are going to facilitate appointment much faster than we can see by going through the yellow pages or going through the city's EAP. Lastly, we have that subclinical piece, which has been so critical, and that's where U-Turn comes in.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot of resources out there. Rich, how do you anticipate the new behavioral health benefits are going to positively impact the overall culture and perception of mental health within this community?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is that the ease of access. So, for example, Dallas alluded to the video collection. This is just one example I would throw out there. The way that our videos are kind of like structured, it's meant to be more of a training experience and not necessarily like a witch hunt to try to find people that are addicted and get people to rehab. We know that people resist that kind of information. The content is designed in a way to penetrate the stigma, if you will, to make it more palatable for people to watch this stuff and hear about it. People need to be able to identify with other folks in recovery. So we have stories of people in recovery, stories of first responders in recovery, for example. And when you put it on their phone and you put it on a website where they can access it without needing to go down to the clinic or needing to go to a 12-step meeting or, you know, get in the car and drive across town, it just increases awareness and it gets the conversation started because it's easier, less threatening. The other thing is with the video content, keep in mind that education equals empowerment. So the more a person knows, the less they're threatened by the stigma. I mean, people get a lot of their information about mental health. Think about it. They get it from the movies. They get it from TV shows that they see, or TMZ, who's reporting on some celebrity who just flamed out again. And it's really not realistic on what the actual reality of these disorders are like. So when they can look at this content and really get just objective, non-judgmental information, it helps to lower the stigma. The other thing is, going back to this peer model, it's less threatening for people to kind of like start these conversations if they're starting it with somebody that they see as being a peer, somebody that's closer to them. It's very hard to go to an antiseptic kind of like clinic and get seen by a counselor. So what happens is all of that, what it does is it creates more of a normalization of the issue. And over time, the culture changes to the point where it's okay to talk about mental health, right? That's what we're actually trying to get to. We're trying to get to this place where people are okay with bringing this up. I mean, as a person working in the field, I struggled with that for years. I thought I would get judged. I thought, you know, even though I worked in behavioral health, somebody would judge me because if they knew I was in recovery. The way around that is awareness, education, and open conversations. And we think that our model, this Responder Health, U-Turn Health model, is tailor-made to do that, to normalize the experience around mental health.
And I think one thing that we haven't touched on yet is the impact on families and spouses, and how will they be affected? How will they be able to participate in benefits like this?
Yeah, so everything that we offer is offered to the family, all inclusive. No additional charges, no additional upcharge, no additional intake. Like, you don't have to do an intake. Like, anybody you identify as a family member is eligible for all of our services, including coaching. We have certified family recovery coaches that could help a firefighter's wife or a firefighter's husband, or even if a firefighter himself is dealing with a kid. Have you, like, if you've ever thought about that, like a person going through addiction, we all know that that person, you know, is in trouble, but think about the family member of somebody going through addiction. They are just as distracted. They're just as worried. They're just as much in trouble as the person themselves. So we believe the short story answer to that is the family is included across the board. Everything we do involves getting the family involved.
From our model at the Station 2 Clinic, where we focus on that early intervention, that's why we do those annual exams. And, you know, when you're young in your career, you're establishing that baseline, and then you can track your progress along that baseline, because we know whether it's cardiac or cancer, that early intervention is the key to the best outcomes. And so that's the model we're trying to utilize with this new behavioral health benefit as well. We want that early intervention. We don't want things to develop to crisis level. That's where we're going to rely on peer support team members and each and every Seattle firefighter recognizing issues with their coworkers. And now we have somewhere to turn to get them access to resources and benefits to get that early intervention.
How will you measure success? There's the obvious sort of, you know, people getting help, but are there other ways that you think about measuring the success of the program?
I can jump in there and tell you one of the things that we use that we're very, very sure. fired up about. We call it the Resiliency Capital Index. This is an external research tool and validated, and it's through a company called Commonly Well. And what this does is it measures people's functioning across three different domains: social, and then the work domain, and then just what you would call like psychological or like the mental health domain. And there's different questions that kind of assess where a person's at, and a person can get a score in that area. And in our world, one of the best ways to do this is a score at baseline when you start working with the coach, and then a score, you know, 30 days down the road, and 60 days down the road, 90 days down the road. Because here's what we find, even more important than like days clean or like days of sobriety, the actual like measure of success in outcomes is daily functioning. Does that make sense? It's not like whether or not Rich got high today or not. You know, obviously that contributes, but what we really want to know is, does Rich have a job? Is Rich showing up for work? Does he have his family back together? Those type of quality of life issues are what we're measuring. And again, we do that mainly through this Resiliency Capital Index in our world. So that's one of the things that we would encourage.
And I think, and I'll point this one to you, Dallas, I think that there's also success in the way that you might see family involvement. You might see more families involved in the program than you have. I'm just guessing. You want to take that?
Sure, absolutely. That is a big part of our effort. And we struggle to engage with families in the healthcare trust, and that's a big part of our effort. And we're going to be making a big push through the healthcare trust and through this behavioral health benefit to engage the families, because that is so critical to everything that we do as a department. Because when, you know, when things aren't going well at home, oftentimes it carries over onto the job. But also, we know that the family members are oftentimes the first to recognize some of the changes in their firefighter. And if we have the families engaged and aware of these benefits and resources, then that just removes any more obstacles to get access to the support they need.
That's great. And I mean, we're about to roll out this new health benefit. So what are your plans for how you want to roll this out? The training and educating firefighters and the available resources. What is the plan?
We have a pretty comprehensive plan, and there's going to be that continued outreach, because the firefighters are getting a lot thrown at them every day, whether it's just run volume on top of department training and other marketing and communication efforts. So we know that there's a lot of noise that they're always trying to filter. And so one of the first efforts. We have the support of Chief Scoggins and of the fire department. And so we're going to utilize pushing out the training to everybody through Cornerstone. I realize that everybody doesn't love the Cornerstone platform, but it is a great delivery tool for easy access to the information at your convenience, and you can work it into your day. And so the Cornerstone platform is where we're going to start the initiative to deliver this training to every firefighter. And then we're going to engage a little deeper with peer support team members, because the Responder Health Program and U-Turn are not that side-by-side worker credibility that the peer support team has. We can't be in the stations with you. Having those trained peer support team members in the stations and throughout the department is critically important part of this whole program being completely successful. And so we're going to engage with them. And Kristen Cox has been a great partner in evaluating this program and helping to engage and incorporate it with the department. And so there'll be that. And then we'll continue with the table caddies and the hot sauce caddies that you see on the tables. Look at that content, because we want to continually re-engage, because those caddy cards are changing about monthly. It's that one of those primary outreach tools that we're hoping that the firefighters are seeing these in the station and getting the message, whether it's this new benefit or any other new benefits that are coming from either Local 27 or the Healthcare Trust. And so that's a critical element. We really need you guys to be engaged and help us with that communication so that everybody's informed about what's available to them.
And I just want to thank you both today, Rich and Dallas. This was a great discussion, and we try and keep these a little bit short for our firefighters. For our listeners, if you've missed anything, we're going to put some of the resources on this episode's webpage. And also, we have a part two coming up of Responder Health, the app, that will be very helpful as part of this rollout. That's it for today. So, guys, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Jen.
Thanks for joining us. Listen Up L27 is a Seattle Firefighter Healthcare Trust production. This podcast is produced by the Rhizome Collaborative. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.